we stay where we've been, we begin to stagnate. But I don't want to stagnate. Amen? I don't want to be a swamp. I want to be in the river. How many want to be in the river? Oh, hallelujah. And so here today, we want to start very quickly with a portion of the Word of God, and then I want to take you further than what I did the last service. I want to go to the book of Luke. And this came out of, there's certain things I study, not too much. I'm not a pastor. I mostly study by revelation. But there's other things. We want to go to the book of Luke chapter 2, that just the heavens open up. Luke chapter 2. And this portion of the Word of God, verse 1 through 7. God spoke to me when I was casually reading the Bible. I seldom drank coffee, so I wouldn't have morning coffee. I was having morning tea. And I got a couple watchdogs so they keep away from my house people I don't want to meet with. Hallelujah. They're better than a secretary. But anyhow, I got one of them too. But I was just casually reading the scripture, and then all of a sudden something popped off the page, and out of it has come hours and hours of teaching that I've begun to take throughout the world, because I often look for a better way. The book of Hebrews uses the key word is better. Not what's good, what's better, and then ultimately what's best. And just like cars have improved, medicine has improved, it's time for the church to improve. Not that we change the message, except God gives us more revelation, but we've got to change the methodology. You know, I was someplace just a few years back, and it was in Tennessee, since that's where it was. And the church didn't yet have email, because they were like stuck. You know, it's almost prehistoric. And I don't want to become a spiritual dinosaur, you know, going extinct and not even knowing it. But if we don't have some bedrock understanding of what's going on in the spirit, before long, the only ones we'll be talking to are ourselves, because our language, our concepts, our culture gets weird, and we don't even know we're weird, and that's weird. I like going to Pennsylvania. How many of you have ever been to that part of the world? And you see the Amish there with their little buggies, you know, and I've almost driven a few of them off the road. So they're living in a lifestyle, and they're dressing in a way they did hundreds of years before, and they get ingrown, and they can only relate to themselves, and they really don't like outsiders too much because they're a closed community. Hear me. Satan wants to do that to the whole church, because God wants us to, from the beginning, to be fruitful and multiply, not to divide.
Amen.
But I was in Pennsylvania again another time, and I asked a guy who works for the Secret Service, protecting the presidents and world leaders and congressmen and everything else. And I said, Philip, come to our series of meetings. He used to live in that area. Now he's in near Washington, D.C. And he was unwilling. He said, I've got all these prophecies from various ministries, and they've never come to pass. And out of that, something began to go in my mind and began to think some things. And then God gave me an answer when I was reading Luke. And we're not going to stay here very long, because we're going to open up another direction here in this. In Luke chapter 2, it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, I hope you understand that meant Roman world, should be taxed. That's why Mark 24, when it said this gospel shall be go into all the world, then the end shall come. He was speaking of the Roman world in the first century, and the end of the old covenant, the end of the temple, the end of all that ended. Having said that, the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went out to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she delivered, verse 6, and they brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there wasn't any hotel available, room at the inn. You say, is this a Christmas message? No, it's not. This is a message that God gave me, because I wasn't studying, I wasn't thinking. It just popped off the page. It's called Revelation. And this thing I want to tell you, God is able to take unlearned and ignorant people and release revelation to them and give them wisdom that the greatest scientists and the philosophers and professors of the world don't have. Are you glad for that? You can even say y'all and be far advanced. Hallelujah. I had to do that. I'm feeling free up here today, Stephen. Hallelujah. Because there's a wisdom you don't learn. There's a wisdom only God can give you. And revelation is like you go to the old theater, or you'd say theater, and the screen, you remember that, was covered by curtains, and the curtain would open. And then you could see what was going on the screen. If that curtain remained closed, it was outside of your mental and visual reach. It was there, but you couldn't get it. And revelation is when the curtain opens. And may I say this, God wants the curtain to open, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God wants us to have understanding the world can't have. That's why people read the Bible and really make of themselves fools, professing to be wise, they become fools, because the only way you can understand the Bible is by revelation. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Thank God for revelation, that He can take unlearned and ignorant people and make them wiser than the top minds of the earth. Because He is the God of science, and He is the God of knowledge, and what we're talking about today, He's the God of prophecy. And why did this happen? Why would God allow Mary, pregnant with child, to be taken to Bethlehem of Judea? Why couldn't she just give birth there in Nazareth, and then it'd be a lot easier, even though to bring a crying baby all that distance, rather than a woman carrying child just about ready to be delivered? Well, we've had three children. The Ebels over there have had six. Hallelujah. I can't believe taking my wife on a donkey for hundreds of miles, because I've been over there in Israel where that is, and they didn't have modern roads. They had almost what you'd call paths today, or roads that had big stones on them from the Roman Empire. They built it that way. It was not a comfortable road. It was not a nice trip. You didn't have a nice place to go and shower and use facilities. I mean, it was rough traveling. It was beyond camping. You were on your own. You slept on the side of the road, and it was dangerous. Why would God allow this to go on in their lives? I tell you why. He was bringing them to the place that prophecy could be fulfilled in their life. And God spoke that to me. He said, I brought them to that place where prophecy could be fulfilled in their life. All of that journey was to get them to Bethlehem, because prophecy could not be fulfilled in Nazareth. Prophecy could not be fulfilled in Rome or Alexandria or Antioch. It couldn't be fulfilled there, because the prophets had spoken in the book of Micah chapter 7 that in Bethlehem, God would invade the planet Earth. Prophecy would only and could only be birthed there. And you say, well, what does this mean to me? Do I have to move to Alabama or Washington, D.C. or wherever this? No. Often it's not a geographical change, though for some of us it could be. Most of the time, it's a spiritual change. God brings you somewhere in Himself that prophecy can be fulfilled. And notice, this didn't make any sense why they'd have to go at this time to that place, but they had to get to that place that prophecy could be fulfilled in their life. And like it or not, pregnant or not, uncomfortable or not, dangerous or not, we're all on a journey, and God's going to get us to that place spiritually where prophecy can be fulfilled in our life. And it's not democracy, it's theocracy. Christ reigns, and without our liking it, without our wanting it, we're going to go there. Hallelujah. But sometimes when I want to get someone where they're supposed to go, someone who's a believer, I say, just say never. If you say never, I guarantee you God's going to get you there ever. Hallelujah. Because that's not a wise... I've learned certain things in my vocabulary. Don't let it be said. I said for years, I'll never pastor. I said I'd never have kids because I didn't want them to be like I was. Hallelujah. I had a never list, not a bucket list. I had a never list. And everything is on that list I've had to do. God's not going to leave you in that place of self-will. Right. He's going to bring you into that place of His will. Amen. Say, well, no one's ever made me. No, maybe on the earth they haven't made you, but the one that is your maker knows how to bring you to your knees. Hallelujah. Yes, He will. And if He has to use that heathen boss blowing cigar smoke in your face, He'll use him too. Because God has His instruments to bring us to that place. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis. I've been led there a lot recently, since it's the book of the beginnings. Without an understanding of Genesis, you can't understand the Bible, because the New Testament talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they all come from there. So here, we're going to look into the life of a man for at least this service, maybe a couple services. Monday, Tuesday night's going to be in this vein, different directions. But when I got that revelation, I didn't realize throughout the Word of God, the mighty men and women that He used, and church history, He always got them to that place, either a location or a spiritual position where prophecy could be fulfilled in their life. And many times it didn't make sense. Many times it looked the opposite. And that's the thing, when pastoring the prophetic, God says, yes, you're going to be in business, you're going to prosper, and the guy goes bankrupt and it can't work. If we don't have an understanding of what's going on, we can actually give people flesh counseling that causes them to give up on their destiny in God. And we really need the mind of Christ. I don't want to give people flesh counsel. I don't want to do that. I want to speak the word of the Lord. Even if it disturbs people's status quo, even if it taxes them to get out of their comfort zone and to go on a journey they wouldn't have chosen to take. We don't want to be dream killers. We want to be dream initiators and dream activators. And having said that, we want to go to Genesis 37. It says, these are the generations, verse 2, of Jacob. Joseph, he was 17 years old. Genesis 37, verse 3. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers. They hated him and couldn't speak well of him. And then worse than that, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him more. And he said, hear the dream, I pray you, what I had. Behold, we were all binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and bowed down before him. Now may I say, there's certain revelations to be shared. There's certain revelations you better keep to yourself. This was one of them. But being a teenager, he didn't yet have wisdom. I remember once, more than once, but we left our children home alone. And, they were teenagers and one wasn't. And my son at those days had a mouth. You know what it is to have teenagers that have a mouth? Hallelujah. And particularly a mouth against his sisters. We were homeschooling. That's when you're supposed to be a perfect family and aren't. But anyhow, we were homeschooling. And we were out of the house. We came back. Here was David. He looked like he was almost knocked out on the couch. He had mouthed off to his older sister. She ran at him and hit him over the head with the control panel of the television. You know, one of those channel changers. Anyhow, he'd said something he better had kept to himself. He learned, thou shalt not enrage thy older sister. Hallelujah. But that's one of those things. You can remind him of that when he's preaching here sometime. Hallelujah. Probably tonight, but it did happen. Hallelujah. Joseph didn't yet have wisdom, and he didn't know when to speak up and when to keep quiet. But something prophetic happened. Not only did he have a dream, his father made him something that looked like it was just preferential treatment that would ignite jealousy, which it did. Because may I say this, many times there's a price tag when God gives you a glimpse of your destiny. Joseph made for Jacob a coat of many colors. And having had a friend that was very strong in the Hebrew language and in ancient culture, a scholar, he said when he researched this, he found out this, that those coats of many colors were not what shepherds would wear. If you work with animals, I've worked with animals, some raising certain nice house pets, you know, trustworthy animals like pit bulls and Rottweilers and German shepherds. I've learned there's certain things not to wear. Hallelujah. If you train them for protection, you want to make sure you got on something they can't bite through. Amen. But if you're just raising animals, because you go get all dirty, you don't put on your Sunday morning clothes, except like me, I wear whatever I want, whenever. But anyhow, you don't do that. Because shepherd's garments in those days were short-sleeved because they'd be working with the dirt and everything else, and they would never wear a long sleeve coat or something like this. But these coats in the ancient world were only coats worn by princes and world leaders. This coat wasn't just, my dad bought me a nice suit, you know. No, that wasn't it at all. This coat was a prophetic mantle that was given to him. It was in the natural, but in the spirit behind it. This young man was not just a normal young man. This young man, prophetically and with his dreams, he had a prophetic destiny that was way beyond what he understood or what his brothers understood or fully what his father understood, because Joseph was a young man that was going to influence history and keep the godly lineage alive and keep the nations alive. And there was something so strong and so powerful, but he was going to have to, and I want to go tell you, we got to understand this, he was going to have to go through hell to get where God wanted him to be. And my God, people want mantles and people want anointings. People want callings, and you act like you're going to a garage sale. You want something cheap and cheaper. But the real mantles and anointings of the Spirit are not found in God's bargain basement. There's no discount for the anointing. And we've got to really get serious, because the holy anointing oil, if it was counterfeited, it brought the death penalty in the Old Testament. And I don't want fake anointings. Amen. I don't want fake mantles. I don't want hype. I don't want soulishness. I want something that will preserve the godly seed and affect the nations, the earth, in this generation. And there's a mantle that God has for you. And there's a mantle that God has for this ministry. And there's a mantle that God has for you and your seed. And there's a price tag to this mantle. And I tell you, if Joseph had allowed himself to not get healed in the process of what he's going through, he would have probably died with a broken heart. He had a dream, and then he had another dream very similar to the last dream. And he told it to his brothers again, that not only you, but my father and mother are going to bow before me. My goodness, this kid didn't know when to stop. Open mouth and insert foot. His brother in chapter 37, 11, they were jealous of him, but his father, he took notice of the same. See, Joseph had the giftings, but he didn't yet have the maturity to walk in the giftings. And maturity is not something I can lay hands on you and impart it to you. God has to lay His hands on you and impart it to you. If it's, when it says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, that's not for judgment, that's for development. It gets to be a pretty frightening thing when God goes after in you what He's got to get out of you. You know, there are some people, they've been around church so long, they've learned to speak the lingo and play bingo. And they've never come into anything of reality. I tell you, people that speak in tongues but have no power and have no presence of God, I don't want to get into that stuff. I don't want to get stuck. There was Joseph. You'd call him, he was what you'd call down here a good old boy. He was really serious. The first thing about Joseph was the parental scene. I mean, he was definitely admired and looked up to by his father. He was definitely looked down on by his brothers. He was the youngest one at this time, and he was a pain in the... He was really causing trouble wherever he went, because he didn't yet know... He knew how to get something from the Spirit, but he didn't know how to deliver something in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. But have no fear, when God has destiny for you, and destiny for me, and destiny for a place, He knows how to take us from where we are to where prophetic fulfillment will become an actuality and a reality. You may have heel marks all the way to the altar, but you're coming. Ready or not, here God comes. Notice, his father sent him out to check on his brethren. In verse 23, it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brothers that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Verse 24, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There wasn't any water in it. Pit. Parents, now here we go to the pit. Pit. It's the pits, man. I can't believe what I'm going this job or this marriage or this... On and on. Pit. P-I-T. Prophet in training. Prime minister in training. The pit. You know, here's what went real wrong in some of the faith movements. I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to possess it, and I'm going to go through nothing bad because, you know, God is love. Hear me. God loves you like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Oh, hallelujah. And if I could avoid some of the pits God's allowed me to be thrown in, I would have. But it was outside of my understanding. Because if Joseph hadn't gone on the pit, into the pit, he'd have hung around home and his whole family and him would have perished in the future. There's things you got to go through. There's things I got to go through. There's things anyone that has destiny and a mantle that God has made for them, they're going to have to go through. And I don't want to stay in the shallow end. In the shallow end, you got a bunch of little minnows you can play with and you enjoy it. But it's out in the deep seas where you're going to catch abundance of fish. It's out in the deep seas that there's danger, but there's also treasures. I don't want to be, you know, just wade and play in the shallow end. Because you don't even have to know how to swim in the shallow end. That's why some people don't have any idea about the things of the Spirit because they've chosen to stay in the shallow end. The pit. The pit. The pit. And they took away his coat. That was his mantle. That was a mark of his destiny. Where did that thing go? Where did his destiny go? It went back to God, who was going to watch over his word, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, to perform it. I want to tell you, man cannot stop your destiny. The devil cannot stop your destiny. Circumstances cannot stop your destiny. Because God, when things are in His hands, no other hand can circumvent that, undermine that, destroy that. The only one that can mess up your destiny is the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Here he's with his father, the parents. That was great. But what went on in the household, he had gone through the pain of rejection, the pain of jealousy, the pain of brothers who wanted to kill him. They said, let's throw him in the pit, let him die there. So let's see what's going to become of his dreams. You see, they hated him for his dreams. They hated him for his relationship with the Father. They hated him without a cause because Joseph was also a type of Christ. He was thrown in the pit. It looked like everything ended. It looked like his future had backfired. It looked like he was going nowhere but down. It looked like all things weren't working together for good to them that love God. It looked like God had allowed things to happen that shouldn't have happened. But this is the thing I want to tell you. God was at work because God was going to bring Joseph to that place where prophecy would be fulfilled in his life. God was not going to let man or circumstance or Satan or injustice or jealousy or discrimination do anything against that mantle that God intended that boy to wear. And God was going to allow him to go where others hadn't gone and do what others hadn't done because God had training for reigning. You know, you can stay in the realm of a star actor in the movie Dumb and Dumber. You can be a church person that sits on your blessed assurance every week and goes nowhere fast. You can grow up in a Christian home and go to a Christian school and even come from preachers' families and remain immature and unbroken and unhealed. You can, but I want to tell you, I am not going to stay in no pit, and I'm not going to stay under Daddy's care. I plan to get out there where I will qualify to get the mantle on my life in its fullness, in its power, in its demonstrative goodness that God intended before the foundation of the world. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. There was a great prophetic revivalist, Evan Roberts, who was really the father of the Pentecostal movement. He had 100,000 people come to Christ in Wales in a 6-month time when nothing had happened there for centuries. And after the revival calmed down some and they were building churches to conserve the results, someone said to him, "Evan Roberts, I would like to have some of the revelations you have." And he said, looked at him with a serious face, "Are you willing to go through what I've gone through to get them?" To get to the place where prophecy is fulfilled in your life, you can't abide in the pit. You know, I work with people, Cambodia, Vietnam, that saw their parents killed right in front of their eyes. And something like that, if God doesn't heal you, there's no human health to bring into your situation. I mean, you can go to counseling for centuries and not get over that. What happens when you've been in the pit often? You need a miracle. I said, you need a miracle. You need a miracle. And this is the thing about your journey. God intends for a miracle to happen, that old things will pass away and all things will become new. God doesn't intend you. I'm the walking wounded. You know, I went through this. The devil intends that. But I'm not going to live in a pit mentality. Because the pit eternally is not our place. Someone else's. So notice, they got him out of the pit because they said, let's not let him die. He's our own flesh and blood, like religious devils talking. Verse 28, there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought him down to Egypt. Verse 31, they took Joseph's coat and killed a young goat. They dipped his coat in blood. Two things here. You would think it was going from, they're taking him out of the pit, they're going, okay, go home, we'll get over this. Don't tell Dad now. No, they sold him into slavery. His own brothers. No greater rejection could you receive. I said, no greater rejection could you receive. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow. And may I say this? If we don't allow God to heal us of rejection, we will walk wounded, and the devil will always have open doors in our life to bring more pain and more rejection. You know, there are people groups, they haven't got over what happened 100 years ago. They haven't got over what happened 200 years ago. They haven't got over what's happening last week because they carry offense. I said they carry offense. And I got news for you. I'm not in Adam. I'm in Christ. I'm not living what happened 100 years ago. I'm living now. Faith is. Now's the acceptable time. I'm not going to let the prophets of Baal fill my mind and heart with poison. Do you hear that, CNN? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thought I'd say that. Glory to God. May God wake us up. We're not like the heathen. We got a mantle God has in store for us. We're not going to stay in no pit. We're not going to be slaves to sin. We're not going to be slaves to circumstance. We're not going to be slaves to the opinions of the ungodly. Because, see, we're on a journey. We may not like the process. We may not like the places we got to go through in the Spirit. But God doesn't intend us to remain in our immaturities where our dreams are just unfulfilled dreams. God wants to make our dreams reality. But what happened to Joseph before his dreams were fulfilled? His dreams became nightmares. Contrary to everything God told him was going to happen. And this is what we got to understand when we're pastoring people about prophecy or the prophetic purposes of God that Scripture says are going to be fulfilled in every generation. Often things don't go as you plan. Amen. Often the opposite happens. Often it looks like the enemy is having a heyday. But Psalm 105 says God sent Joseph. I said, God sent Joseph into Egypt. Man didn't send him there. Satan didn't send him there. Circumstances didn't send him there. He went God Express. And he didn't go with a nice SUV. He went Camel Express. Up and down. I was with some Russians in Israel. They decided to have fun with an American. And they said to some Arab, hey, here, we give you money. And they said, Papa Bill, that's what they call me. Get on camel. I said, you're out of your mind. No, we insist. So before, there was a couple of them, so I couldn't fight them off. And they put me on that stupid thing. And here I'm. And my heart's coming up. I almost get sick. You know, here I'm on that stupid camel overlooking Jerusalem, and they're laughing and they're walking around. I tell you, I'm sure glad I didn't have to go on one of them for hundreds of miles. Sometimes the journey is anything but what you want it to be. Sometimes the journey is a little tough. Sometimes the journey is a little rough. Sometimes the journey is not first class. Sometimes the journey is something you wouldn't wish on one of your dogs. Sometimes the journey can be a little frightening. I was with my son once in the Himalayan mountains on this thing you'd call an airplane. It's 15 passenger, and we're flying between two mountain ranges, and we hit crosswinds, and David had that, what do you call it, iPad, whatever. He's listening to his music, if that's what you want to call it. It's kind of full of all the soul and everything else. And I'm sitting there trying to be spiritual, praying. And I began to see some wind coming. And man, we were in that crosswind. And that 15-passenger plane dropped hundreds of feet and popped back hundreds of feet just like this. And I'm sitting there. Ah. My heart came up in my mouth. I said, David. And he's... I said, David, pray for me. He said, why does this bother you? Oh, no! Well, he prayed, and the airplane shot down again. And I came back. Man, I was ready to... I don't tell you what I was ready. But I was just out of it. And then right after that, over the loudspeaker, came the sound Mayday. Bam, bam, bam. That's what they turn on an airplane before it's getting ready to crash. And I said to the stewardess, what's happening? She said, oh, electronic, no work. I was ready to kiss that ground. I didn't care what was on it when we landed. Sometimes the journey is very out of the ordinary. Camel, when all you've known is what it is at the most to ride a donkey as an Israelite, and you're on some filthy camel heading into a part of the world that God told Isaac, don't go to. Abraham went down there and got real messed up. Hagar. God said, behind the scenes, like it or not, that's where I'm sending you. If you think your life is in your hands and in your plans, wait till God gets done with it. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Yeah, Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should let these people go? Didn't take him too long to find out. May I say, God has some real divine surprises for some of these evil people in our government. You watch over the next few months. God's going to turn on the light. Because God is not mocked. I said, God is not mocked. What a man sows, he's going to reap. And there's some harvest coming to some people they don't want. May they fall on the rock before the rock falls on them. But here was Joseph. He was going Camel Express, and he wasn't going down there to some oasis where he could have, you know, sit under the palm trees and could I have another one of those, please? Another one? No. He wasn't going to do that. He was headed to the slave block. You know, slavery is an ancient institution that was from the beginning of mankind because sin brings slavery of all kind. And it unfortunately is alive and well on planet Earth. And now much of the slavery has to do with little children and women. May God judge it and may God deliver His little ones. But here was Joseph. And in the meantime, his brethren had to really do a double deal. They took his coat of many colors and dipped it in blood. And God spoke to me out of this and He said, any mantle I give you will be dipped in blood. Suffering. That's why when someone gets a prophecy, yay, you're called to be a prophet or a prophetess, they really need prayer afterward. Hallelujah. Because trust me, the fire's coming. Any mantle that comes from God, real supernatural mantle, will be dipped in blood. But I'm glad the book of Revelation said He's wearing a vesture and it's dipped in blood. Are you glad Jesus went through suffering, that part of that suffering we'll never have to go through? He suffered for my sins and your sins so that the payment of sin will never fall on us because the wrath of God fell on Christ on the cross. His vesture is dipped in blood eternally. Well, Joseph, do you know what's going on? He didn't know what was going on for years. For years. Over a decade, he didn't know what was going on. And if you don't know what's going on today, you're in a good place. You've got to trust God. And that's easy to say, trust God. until you got to trust God. Till the promises of God seemingly aren't working in my life or your life. But I like one of the things Jesus said about a girl who died. He said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. Sometimes the promises of God, they're not operating in your life, they're just on hold. But the day comes where God pushes the wake button and all these miracles happen in a very quick amount of time, fast amount of time. Because I want to tell you, you're not going to stay in the pit indefinitely. You're not going to stay on no camel in going in circles your whole life. You're not going to be in slavery, servitude, suffering indefinitely. God has a better day because you're on a journey to be brought into that place where prophecy is fulfilled in your life. He said, but I've lost my house, I've lost my marriage, I've nearly lost my mind. But hear me, you haven't lost your faith, and God has something bigger and better in store for you because He's working in you to bring you to that place where prophecy will be fulfilled in your life. Joseph had to go to Egypt and he didn't know it. He had to get there and he never would have chosen to go there. So someone else chose for him. It's called the sovereignty of God. If I do what's right at this, I want to tell you this. God, when He has His hand on a life, you do right, you do wrong, you sin, you don't sin, God's still going to get you there. Ask Joseph. Ask Jonah. God said, go and warn Nineveh. They're the people, we hate their guts. And so he went the opposite direction. Have you ever tried to do that? I had a guy who went in the opposite direction what God had for his life. I said, I sure hope you like seaweed. Jonah in the belly of the fish covered with seaweed. But did that keep God from fulfilling His mission in Jonah's life? Is God that small when He has a plan? Then you say no, that He can't make you willing to say, yes, Lord! He may have to bring the whales of circumstance, but you're going to get swallowed up out of your selfish rebellion, and you're going to be spat up on the beach of God's eternal destiny and plan, because God's like the Mounties. He always gets His man or woman. You decide how difficult the journey's going to be. But long before you showed up, God took down a lot stronger people than you and me. Man says, we made it to the moon. God said, big deal, I made it. Who is this God that I should let these people go? Didn't take Pharaoh too long to get that question answered. God always can handle defiant people. Get ready, America. This is a season in which God's going to return the Holy Ghost mantle and destiny that God has planned for this land. This is a season in which God is turning up the heat, and if people have to go through the pit and have to go through bondage and have to go through servitude, God's not giving up on His destiny for this land and His church in this land. There's a mantle. Do you want your mantle?
Amen.
Do you want your coat of many colors?
Yes.
And it's not, you know, your way of doing it. It's going to be God's way of doing it. And I tell you this, if you are called by God and you're trying to get out of that, I'd encourage you to repent quickly. Just would encourage that. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, chapter 39. I think we're not going to get much further than this. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard of Egypt, bought him out of the hand of the Ishmaelites. But notice this, verse 32. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. You don't understand what's been happening to me. Hear me. It didn't matter what was happening to him, because God was with Joseph. It became very clear he wasn't an ordinary type. It became very clear that he was a prosperous man. You know, there's much teaching on prosperity. What people often don't teach is what you got to go through to have it. You know, it's much more than money, because otherwise the mafia is prosperous. No, they're just full of greed and evil. Prosperity means the whole life under the blessing of God. I want to be prosperous. Somebody wants to be full of poverty, that's your problem. But I want to be prosperous, because God says in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper. And it spoke of the king in the Old Testament. As long as he sought the Lord made him prosper. If Christ is the center of your life, He wants to bless you, not for yourself. He wants to bless you to make you a blessing. Because we'll see as time evolves in this story, Joseph wasn't just going to be brought to the place that prophecy would be fulfilled in his life. He was a point man that prophecy was going to be fulfilled not just to him, but through him. He was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw the Lord was with him and made all that he did to prosper his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight and served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he had. It came to pass from the time that he made him an overseer in the house and over all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of God was upon all he had in the house and the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. My, you'll see this in his life. He could go in as a slave and all of a sudden become the boss. He could go in, you know, stripped of everything he had, and all of a sudden God would begin to lift him up and favor him and give him unprecedented blessings. So I want to tell you this. In the journey to come where God wants us to be, that place spiritually where prophecy will be fulfilled, it is not all lost, but many times there's seasons of great gain and there's seasons we see the glimpse of where God wants to take us. Because I want to say this, God thoroughly trains a man or a woman that he's going to prosper and make a savior in this generation, a man of wisdom, a woman of wisdom that he can trust with authority to undo the plans of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy and bring redemption to this generation and redemption to the earth. There's a mantle. Do you want it? There's a mantle. Do you want to enter into it? But it calls for preparation and it calls for purging and it calls for a people that understand things don't go our way. Things go God's way in our lives. And Joseph could have settled in that household and waited for this man to die, and he'd have taken over an Egyptian house, and he'd have been a prosperous guy, man. He'd have been a trader. He might have even opened a hotel. One day had his brothers show up and poisoned them. Who knows? But God wasn't going to leave Joseph there, and we'll start Monday night with that. And you think things are where you're going to be forever. You've got that business, you've got that gift, you've got that ministry, but you know, in the heart, in your heart of heart, that's not your final destiny, but you're really blessed, you're really prosperous, you're really comfortable, and all of a sudden the winds of change begin to blow again. Because God's not intent to leave you a shepherd boy. God's not intent to leave you in any form of bondage or hurt. God's not intent to just leave you in charge of someone else's. God has a bigger plan for me or you than what we can understand. There's a mantle that He intends for you to be well tailored for. He doesn't fit the mantle for you. He fits you for the mantle. And He knows how to turn up the heat. And He knows how to bring the hornets of circumstance. And He knows how to bring the dealings of God so that we're a people, when we succeed, it doesn't go to our head, it goes to our heart. We don't get even with people that caused us all the pain in the process. We realize someone bigger than them was in all of that because He had a destiny and He had a plan before the foundation of the world to undo the enemy's plan. But God in His wisdom knows that He can't leave us in immaturity because we won't be able to handle the things of the Spirit because we'll be a part of the problem and not a part of the answer. I tell you what Satan wants us to be in America right now, a part of the problem. And if Christians are dumb enough to buy into these evil spirits of anarchy and rebellion and independence and Jezebel and Leviathan, if we're dumb enough to come into the demonic realm, we're going to have our lunches eaten. Do we understand something is going on in the spirit world in this nation? And God is taking back what the enemy has stolen for many generations in this land. God is reversing a curse. And some of the stuff you're going through is to prepare you to be mantled by God for His prophetic purposes as a church and prophetic purposes for this land. In spite of the national sins, I defy anyone to show me a better nation. Because God intended Egypt to be a nation of salvation and sustenance and spiritual influence over the whole then known world. And hear me, there's a similar destiny over our nation. Not because of us, but by the grace of God. And God's going to work. for to bring the dreams of this church and the dreams of your life and the dreams that He has for North America to pass. And hear me, it doesn't matter if you've been in the pit, prophet in training. It doesn't matter if you've been sold out by unrighteous family members. It doesn't matter if you're even in a position right now that though you're blessed, it's still not 100% where you want to be. God is bringing you to that place progressively where prophecy, your dreams will be fulfilled in your life. God is working overtime to overthrow the tables and get the junk out of you and bring you to a place of stability and a place of strength and a place of authority and a place of revelation and a place of spirituality. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to start when you're old. Joseph was just a teenage kid. You can believe the lies of Satan, or you can believe the truth of God's Word. That there's a mantle, a coat of many colors that the Father has for you, because you have preferential treatment because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And though the unrighteous are jealous and enraged, that's not, even if they do you wrong, that's not going to stop your destiny. You're in journey, and if you're in a place of pain, in a place of recovery, don't give up. Just even if it's baby steps, stay in the journey, because you're being brought to that place like Mary and Joseph. You're Bethlehem of Judea, where prophecy will be fulfilled in your life. I end with this. At the end of Joseph's, almost at the end of Joseph's life, or towards that, his brethren, long story, came to him. When he was wearing the coat of many colors, they were scared to death that he'd get even. But you know what he said? Don't be afraid. Do you think I'm in the place of God? He said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. We'll continue on Monday on this. A lot of things have been meant for evil against our life. But here's the thing about the sovereignty of God. God takes evil and brings good out of it and still leaves it evil. Thanks be to God for the cross, which was evil, but God accomplished good in it and through it and still calls it, you with wicked hands took and crucified the Son of God. May the Spirit of God release hope. May the Spirit of God release vision. Because it's not what you are, it's what God has for you in the Spirit, individually, corporately, nationally, that makes you not on the same plane as Joseph's brethren. And of course there's rage and there's jealousy against the Most High God in His church. Psalm 2 talks about, why do the heathen rage? Why do the ungodly imagine a vain thing? He that sits in the heavens will laugh. Are you glad we're on the laughing side? He who laughs last, laughs best. Oh, hallelujah! Are you glad for breakthrough? Are you glad for destiny? Are you glad for visitation? Are you glad for God's grace that helps you go where you are to where you're supposed to be? Joseph, you will get back your coat! Joseph, you will get back your coat! Joseph, you won't stay in where you are. Joseph, you won't be wounded forever. Joseph, you will not be undone. Joseph, you will be a world leader. No, you won't be destroyed in your pain or your family nonsense or the demonic activity of the plans of hell against you. There are higher hands. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're not going to stay on some camel. You're not going to stay in the bondage of slavery to any people, any system, any situation. Your vesture will not be dipped in blood indefinitely. You'll go from suffering to reigning, from pain to gaining, from loss to abundance. Why? Because God's bringing you to that place where prophecy is being fulfilled in your life. See, this is a biblical principle I didn't fully understand until it came by revelation. But every man and woman that God called throughout the Scripture, God worked in them to bring them to that place that the promises of God and the prophecies of God would be fulfilled in their life. So if there's depression and hurt and pain and misunderstanding and real negative things going on, that's not your permanent dwelling place. I said, that's not your permanent dwelling place. Have a forwarding address. Delete those things from your heart and mind. You're only going through something. You're not going to be abiding there. That's not where God has you planned to stay. That pain of divorce, that pain of abuse, that pain of the pit, that pain of being sold out, that pain of being rejected of your brother, that pain of being somewhere you don't want to be, doing something you're not called to do, God doesn't say that's where you're going to be forever. It's only temporary! God has a permanent place. God has a supernatural grace. God has prophetic fulfillment. Are you glad for your coat of many colors? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. From grace to grace, faith to faith, and glory to glory. You see, when we talk about going deeper, sometime to go higher, you got to go lower. Sometime to go up, you got to go down. Sometime you got tread marks driven over by a Mack truck driven by a couple angels. Sometime you go into the fire before you're promoted, three Hebrew children. Sometime you get treated like dirt that you realize apart from Christ you are, but beneath the dirt you find the gold, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we can't preach part of the gospel. We got to preach the whole gospel. The good news was Joseph was being brought to the place where prophecy was going to be fulfilled in his life, and his giftings began to manifest wherever he went and were developed. May the Spirit of God seal this word. May it be very clear to you. When you're in that job, in that relationship, in that pain, in that sickness, in that attack, in that loss, in that time that there's no human explanation and seemingly God's gone on a vacation and hadn't sent given you His forwarding address, where everything that could have gone wrong is going wrong, I want to tell you, above it all are the mighty hands of God, because He's bringing you to that place where prophecy's going to be fulfilled in your life. You're not ordained to slavery. You're not ordained to rejection. You're not ordained to injustice. Justice. You're not ordained to a life without a mantle. You're not ordained to stay in some hellish camel express. You're a man, a woman of God, that God has a supernatural plan for you, and God's at work day and night to bring you to that place where prophecy is being fulfilled in your life. You're not a drug addict. You're not a former harlot. You're not a reject. You're not a former alcoholic. You're not a former anything. You're a child and daughter of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hear me. You're not black or white or Hispanic or Asian or mixed race. You're a part of the royal race. You're an overcoming Christian filled with the Spirit of the Most High God. You're on a journey being brought into your prophetic destiny. So when people come to you, Pastor Jerry, singing the blues, rather than get out your guitar and sing along with them to make them feel good about themselves, I know you killed your mother. You should have been. You're probably having a bad day. No. We don't want to give people sympathy. We want to tell people compassionately, you're being brought to that place where prophecy is going to be fulfilled in your life. And sometimes it's a very painful journey. Sometimes it's a very confusing journey. Sometimes prophecy is not fulfilled until God works in you before He can work for you. God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's at work. Say, well, I won't let him do it. Jeremiah said, I won't preach, but he then said, but his word was like burning fire shut up in my bones. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can we praise him today for victory? Can we praise him today for change? Can we praise him today for visitation? Can we praise him today? We're on a journey being brought to that place of prophetic fulfillment. You say, well, I've blown it. I've missed it. I stepped out of the will of God. Good news is there's restoration. I said there's restoration. Elkanah died, his sons died, but God took his wife and Ruth into their prophetic fulfillment. And God's able to reverse the curse of your family, reverse your own sins and shortcomings, because God knew when he called you, everything you do and not do, but he knew he would win because Father knows best. Grace! I said, grace be unto you today. Like they say in these parts, tonight, Monday and Tuesday, y'all come back, you hear? Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Breakthrough! 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 Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah. All things work together for good. Not all things are good. All things are working together for good. Prophetic fulfillment. Great things of God unfolding in your life. As we close here today, if you're here without Christ, you don't have to stay outside of a prophetic lifestyle. If you're here in real bondage, you don't have to remain there. There's grace to reverse every negative thing in our journey, to turn us into prosperous men and women of God that are trusted by the world, because we've got what they don't have, anointing and favor. Thank you, Lord, for stirring your people here today.